Luke 9, 23. Luke 9, 23, and he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." We have to remember again, and I'll be brief about this, but the context of this passage of Scripture is so important that we have to, again, review just a bit. Remember what our Lord has just done in the last several verses of this chapter. First, he establishes who he is in verses 18 through 20. Then he teaches them in verse 22 what he must do. What he must do. And that's the gospel. Who Christ is and what he did. That's the gospel right there in itself. Christ and him crucified. When we take the Lord's table, it's his body, who he is, the bread, and his blood, what he did. The wine, he was crucified. He shed his precious blood for sinners. And now in our text, he is impressing upon them what this has to do with them. Everybody believes that a man named Jesus died on a cross a long time ago. But do you know who he is? That's where it started. And what does it have to do with you? What does he and his gospel mean to you? That's what he's saying now. Are you in on it or not? Do you believe on him or not? Moses asked it this way in Exodus 22:36. He stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? Who's going to quit worshiping everything and everybody that can't save you? And who's going to trust the God of heaven and earth?" That was the issue there in Exodus. And it is today. The Savior said it this way in our text. Who's ready to come after me? Who's ready to deny themselves? Take up their cross daily. Well, if you take up a cross, we know what crosses are for, don't we? It's not jewelry. It's not a religious symbol. A cross is something that people die on. Why do you got to do that every day? Well, if you take up a cross, you can die on it, you're dead. Well, the thing about it is this flesh and this life, we got to kill it every day, don't we? We got to kill it every day. Willingly. We have to willingly say no to self every day. And he's saying, that is any man willing to do that? Is any man able to do that? Who's going to quit? Think about it this way. Who's going to quit trying to please God with their own works, their own way, with their own will, and cast their souls on Christ, the Son of God, who alone pleased God in all that he did for his people? He had just told them that he must be slain, and now he's telling them, you've got to die too. The Son of Man must be slain, and if you're coming with me, you're going to die too. Not physically like he did then. And then you can't accomplish what he did by his physical death. That's not what it's about. You don't contribute to that. You don't add to it. But you're sure enough going to die. The you that trusts in the flesh, the you that hides from God behind religion and so-called Christian living and behind a profession of faith, the you that thinks that you could ever do anything that measures up to God's standard of righteousness, that you must die. and a new you must be born. A you that says Christ is all my righteousness. Christ is my sin offering. Christ is my strength to obey and to serve God. A you that says with Paul, not I, but Christ. Galatians 2:20. Now our Lord is requiring the impossible. As he often did, and that's not just my opinion. That's not my opinion that it's impossible when he says, take up your cross, follow me. You're going to die and you're going to follow me. I'm going to be your life from now on. I told somebody this one time that it was impossible to do what the Lord commands. And they scoffed at me. I've been scoffed at quite a bit in my life. And they said this, God would never ask a sinner to do something that they couldn't do. As though it's ridiculous to even suggest such a thing. And I said this, what about Lazarus come forth? That kind of ended that conversation. And I got to thinking about it later, and the truth of the matter is, God's never commanded a sinner to do anything they can do. That's just the truth of it. Not believe on me? You can't do that. Come to me? No man can come. The rich young ruler asked the Lord in Luke 18:18, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And one of the things our Lord said to him was, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast and give it to the poor and come follow me. He's telling him exactly the same thing that our text is saying. Deny yourself. Die to self. Make it so. Make it so right now that I'm all you have. And the rich man was unable to do that. And our Lord told his disciples, with men, it's impossible to do that. And that's why he could not do it. But our Lord also said, with God, all things are possible. And that's why a lot of people have done it. Some of us have done it. I don't know who has and who hasn't, but you think with me this morning. We all need to think very carefully about this, because to deny self and follow him means that everything that dishonors him, things and people, have to go. Everything about you that dishonors him has to go. He said, if your right eye offends you, pluck it out. If your right hand offends you, cut it off. It wouldn't help to physically do that. You chop your hand off, you'd be a one-handed sinner hating God instead of a two-handed sinner hating God. He's not teaching that. But this is strong spiritual teaching that all of the things that you think you need are important to you, are vital to you, are part of you. You just have one need. And anything that hinders you from having him has got to go. It's got to go. You need Christ. You want a lot of things, but you need Christ. One thing is needful. So who follows Christ and who doesn't? Is the difference a decision they make? I have decided to follow Jesus. That's a song we used to sing. I could sing it for you right now. I remember the melody and all of it. I have decided to follow Jesus. No, our Lord said, with men it's impossible. So why sing that? God must make the difference, but how does he do that? How does God make that difference? He doesn't just make it as though we choose Christ over all the riches in the world. We actually do. I know that it's the Spirit that worketh in us, but our Lord asked Simon Peter on the beach, do you love me? He didn't say, does the Spirit love me? He said, do you love me? We know why we do if we do. It's because of the Spirit of God has birthed us again from above. But it's us. It's me. It's you. If you know him, do you love me? So how does God make that happen? I know people who have done that. I know people who have denied themselves and followed the Son of God. And they didn't just wake up one day wanting to follow Christ. The answer is the first part of this passage. Who is he to you? Who is he? That's the answer. That's why he started it that way. He started this conversation saying, who do men say that I am? Now who do you say I am? If he's a great example, a great leader, a great prophet, a great rewarder of the religious, that's what he is to most people. If I pay my tithe and go to church and be good to mama, he's going to bless me. That's all he is to most people. The one who blesses them because they do some things that make him happy. The rich young ruler thought highly of him. He said, good master, what must I do? And yet his stuff was worth more to him than the Son of God. That's why he could not do what our text says do. The Lord said, if any man will follow me, then let him deny himself. The rich young ruler couldn't do that. Why? Because he couldn't answer that first question. Who is he? Who is he? Well, he's the good master. But who is he to you? We found out, didn't we? We found out where the Lord rated on that man's scale of valuable things. You see, it's one thing to say, good master. Our Lord even corrected him on that, didn't he? Why are you calling me good? There's only one good but God, and clearly you don't believe I'm God. If you did, you'd follow me. You could even say what Simon did in the context when he said, who do you say I am? He said, you're the Christ of God. You could say that and still walk away from him. There is a right answer and a wrong answer in our context here, but those answers are just expressions of what's in the heart. The words are not going to save you. They have to be the true expression of a changed heart, a new heart. For you to obey our Lord's requirement in our text, you have to see him. You have to know him. Once you do, what stuff? Leave what behind? Quit what? The words aren't going to cut it, are they? It's not just the words. You're going to have to know him. It's interesting that we first saw our Lord establish who he is. Then he told them what he must do. Then he told them what they must do. Not a cooperation, but cause and effect. What we do is the effect of what he did. What he does in us, for us and in us. Then the next passage here, the next passage that we'll, Lord willing, look at next time is the passage concerning what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration, where it says in that text, they saw his glory. They saw his glory. That sounds a lot like what John said in John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We beheld his glory. And in Matthew's account of what happened at the Mount of Transfiguration, listen to the language. Matthew 17:5. While the Lord Jesus yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. If you're going to quit yourself, if you're going to hate yourself, if you're going to deny yourself, if you're going to reject yourself and all you've ever done, all that you are, all you're ever going to do, and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ and him be your all, You're going to have to see him in his glory by the preaching of the gospel, and you're going to have to see him only. You're going to have to see him only. If you're going to sell out for him now, he's going to be the one, the pearl of great price. There ain't but one. There ain't but one thing needful. You see, this ain't... Religion talks about Jesus needs a few good men. You know, he's recruiting people in his army and all that. This ain't Jesus needs a few good men. This is, do you want the pearl of great price or what's in your bank account? What's more valuable to you? Moses chose the reproach of Christ as greater treasures than all the riches of Egypt because God showed him who Christ is. He had regard unto the recompense of the reward. He knew what he was giving up, and he knew who he was gaining. And he said, I'm in. That happens by the grace of God. That happens by God turning the light on. You see why he started with this? Who do you say that I am? That has to come before Moses chooses anything good or right. He got to know who he is. Who he is gives power and meaning to what he did. He died for the sins of his people. He died. And when and if you know who he is and what he did, then you'll come after him. You know him, you're going to come after him. And you'll know who he is and what he did when he shows you, as he did at the Mount of Transfiguration in the next passage in our text, who he is and what he did. He spoke of the death that he should accomplish, and they heard it. And they fell on their faces and they looked up and they couldn't see anybody but him. When he is transfigured before you, as he was on that mount, and you see him in his glory by faith as God's Lamb who loved sinners like you so much that he gave himself to redeem you. And suddenly, just by looking, just by seeing, just by the light coming on, at all cost, you must have him. You must have him. And you're coming. You're coming. It is impossible for man to see him that way. That's why it is impossible for us to obey this. We can't see him like that. The rich young ruler cannot see that his stuff is worthless in comparison to the one before whom he stands. He can't see that. But God can show it to you. With God, all things are possible. You can't see it either. But with God, it can happen. If God will just show you. Listen to this. God can show him to you. Listen to this. All things are delivered to me of my Father. And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father. And who the Father is but the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Guess where it says that? Next chapter, Luke 10:22. You see what our Lord is, he's teaching them who he is, what he did. And in teaching them that, he's showing them that one thing is needful. He's showing them the vanity of everything and everybody else. Come after me. This whole world has got to go. What's this world worth to you? What is he worth to you? As we said, crosses just have one purpose. They're not to wear as jewelry. They're not religious aids. They never helped anybody worship God. People die on them. And in the context of what our Lord is teaching in our text, people die on them because they don't want to live without him. Unless you die, you can't have him. And so you know what makes a sinner willing to die to self? Got to have him. Can't live without him. So where's that cross? It all revolves around knowing who he is. The Son of God has revealed himself to them, and they must have him. To whom shall we go? is the everyday state of their lives. They ask themselves that question every day. Where in the world would I be today without him? Where would I be? When we see him, we agree with him that the old us has to die. This is important too. Now we take up our cross willingly because in seeing him, we see ourselves. If you ever see yourself as you are, you're going to say that with him, I got to die. I got to die. And there's different levels of that we're talking about now. When we receive him, when we follow him, when he reveals himself to us, we die. But you know, I believe that about this body. This body got to go. This flesh has got to go. Do you know anything about your flesh? Then you agree with me. Well, boy, I don't want to die. I kind of do. Not today, not tomorrow. I want to die when he's ready. But I want this body to die, don't you? I don't want to be in this thing forever. Paul said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? By his grace, I agree with him. And the old man, when we see him, we agree with him. Job said, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I hate myself, I despise myself, I abhor myself, and I'm sorry. I repent in dust and ashes. Now that's a key verse there for a couple of reasons. He said, I hate myself and I'm sorry. He didn't start talking about, I'm sorry I did that. I'm sorry I stole that candy bar. I hate myself and I'm sorry for what I am. I'm sorry that I am what I am. When that one thief on the cross saw who Christ was, at some point, he changed his tune, didn't he? They were both mocking the Lord in the beginning. But then he realized who he was talking to, and he said, we're getting what we deserve. This man hadn't done ever anything wrong, but we're getting what we deserve. And he was literally on a cross dying. And he said, this is what ought to happen. That's what we'll say spiritually if we ever see the Son of God as he is. Because we'll see ourselves as we are. And when we take up that cross that he's talking about, every day we'll say, we're getting what we deserve. He said, if any man will. With men, this is impossible. Our Lord said to the Pharisees, you will not come to me that you might have life. And that's all of us by nature. But if the Father does draw you, if the Son does reveal himself to you, if you are willing, as he said you would be in Psalm 110:3, in the day of his power, then deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him. And this thing of following the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a big subject. Of course it means to imitate him, because that's what the word means. Listen to Ephesians 5:1. Be ye therefore followers of God. If you look that word up, it means be ye therefore an imitator of God. As dear children. Just like, you know, I'm in the shop building a cabinet and my son is 5 years old. This never actually happened, but it's just a story. And he gets his little tool, his little plastic tools out, you know, and so he's making his little cabinet down there. He ain't ever going to make a cabinet at 5 years old. You can't do that with a plastic skill saw. But he wants to be like me, doesn't he? That's us. We're not ever going to accomplish anything, are we, Sammy? We ain't ever going to do anything. Don't need to. He's my righteousness. But I kind of want to be like him, don't you? By his grace. I want to get my little plastic saw out and I want to build something. And then when I realize the vanity of this flesh, I'm going to get on my face and I'm going to say, thank you, God, for building this. Be ye therefore an imitator of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us. You see how all of it starts with that, who am I? Who do you say that I am? Walk in love as Christ hath loved us. If you ever see how much he loves you, how can you walk any other way? People say, oh, you know, you need to do this, and you need to do that, you need to do more. No, you just need to know him better. And then you'll do more. We got it backwards, y'all. We got it backwards. We just need to know who he is and what he did as he has loved you. What did he do? The Son of God gave his soul as an offering for a worm like me. Now what are you going to do today? What am I going to do? Oh, may he reveal himself to us. An offering he hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, not once, as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. But also we are followers of him in this sense. Think of this. We're imitators of him as dear children. But also think about this. Hebrews 6:17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Which hope? We have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. If Christ has entered into that holy place not made with hands as your great high priest with his own precious blood, not the blood of bulls and goats, but with his own precious blood, then you're going to follow him there. One day you'll be in the very presence of God without sin in Christ. To follow after Christ, he's got to be worth more to you than all that you own and all that you want. Denying self and following him are two sides of the same coin. You prefer him to self. You trust him and not self. You serve him and not self. Paul said, I reckon we ought to live for him who died for us. You think on him and not self. We don't go through the day thinking about ourselves all the time. You think about him. You promote him and not yourself. Do we? You glorify him and not self. Oh, we're glory hounds, aren't we, by nature? We want to get the glory in everything. We don't want to cook a meal that tastes good without everybody knowing about it. People don't want to give anything without having their name put somewhere where they gave something. That's us by nature now. We want everybody to know, you know. That's why he said, don't you be like those Pharisees. They love to be seen of men. Guess what? We all got a Pharisee living right inside of us. And it's not a foreign entity of some kind. It's me. It's the old me. We believe him. And not ourselves. Not our own heart. People say, follow your heart. That's the worst advice you could possibly get. Follow Him. Trust your gut. Nah. We don't lean on our own understanding. We trust what God said. Is the Lord bringing us to this place? What about this? Is this part of denying yourself and following Him? You prefer what He does to what you wanted. You see why He said it's impossible with men. He didn't say it's impossible. He said with men it's impossible. Can God give us grace to be happy it didn't happen the way we wanted it to? Your righteousness before God is Him and not you. You see how I say it's two sides? It's not I, but Christ. You've got to deny yourself and follow Him. And it's two sides of the same coin. John said He must increase and I must decrease. He must get more glory. And this flesh has got to get less and less every day. We're not really getting any anyway. We just think we are. He's going to get all of it. And I'm more and more okay with that by His grace. Your righteousness before God is all Him and none of you. Not anything you've ever done, said or thought, or haven't done, said or thought, has anything to do with where you stand before God. That's part of it. Christ crucified, the Son of God, who He is, and that He must be rejected, must suffer many things, must be slain, and must rise again. He must be your only hope to stand before God, sinless and accepted. And that's how you need to stand before God, with no sin, accepted of God. You see, salvation is not you accepting Him. Religion's been lying to people for a long time. It's not about that. It's about Him accepting you. And He only accepts sinners in His Son. And the day you see that is the day you will pick up your cross willingly and say, Lord, I got to go and I know it. I wouldn't have it any other way. You realize that's what Paul was doing in Philippians chapter 3. Everything, all of my heritage, all of my good works, in the sight of men and under the law, I was blameless. I count all of that but dung. That me is dead. And he's still got, he's going to have to die again. And Christ is all. Christ is all. May God give us grace. May He bring us to that place. By His grace, let's pray.